As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
One down, 81 to go. Wasn't pretty, but the Maple Leafs got the job done in the season opener on Wednesday night against the rival Ottawa Senators, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Welcome to another season of Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick. You can find us on Twitter at The Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. Many thanks to producer, technical ops Sam McKee for his hard work behind the scenes. Plenty of postgame reaction coming your way. Hear from Mike Babcock, as well as the 25th captain in franchise history, John Tavares. Also, Sportsnet senior hockey writer Chris Johnson will drop by with his thoughts on tonight's 5-3 win for the Maple Leafs in the season opener. And I put it so perfectly there because certainly the first period wasn't pretty by any rate.
Boy, the first few seconds wasn't pretty. It was pretty quick and to the point about naming the leadership group. But then the Ottawa Senators took the crowd out of the game. Crowd pretty excited for game number one. And you're right. I think it's kind of like an uneven game. And if you're a really good team, you've got to win some games ugly. I wouldn't say Leafs did not win this ugly, but there was an unevenness to it. And it's strange that Ottawa gets that 1-0 lead early. The Leafs then have three power play opportunities, Nick. And we talked so much about the power play, and the power play was great, but they didn't connect. And then it was just some of the lesser soldiers that came up big before the big guns came up.
Oh, certainly. I think you look at that first period especially, I think you nailed it with the fact that the Senators just took the crowd right out of the building. Maybe us watching this team the last couple of years would have suspected a slow start for this team. But to imagine 24 seconds into this game, Brady Tkachuk scores that goal. And I'm sure Leafs fans and broadcasters and media alike say, oh, you know, all the hoopla about this team. And 25 seconds in, they sort of let a bit of a softy. And you started to wonder about the night of Frederik Andersen right there.
Yeah, and then Freddie Andersen was the guy that kept him in the game. The concern was it could have been 2-0, could have been 3-0. So it was strange, the Leafs having these three consecutive power plays, getting all kinds of pressure, not scoring. And we'll talk a lot about it. We'll talk to Chris Johnson about it. Ron Hainsey, it looks like this perfect comeback game, giving the Ottawa Senators a 3-2 lead, a very well-respected Leaf during his time here, not renowned for his goal scoring. And it looked like a momentum shift when he scored. And video review, and boy, the eagle eye, I don't know if it's Andrew Brewer or who exactly does it on the side for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it wasn't super clear cut. And if you are wrong on guessing on the offside, you get a minor penalty now. It's not, you don't lose time out. It's a more punitive penalty that way. And he was right, and it put it back to 2-2. And Nick, that seemed to be when the Ottawa Senators' chance to get the momentum and maybe take it again, it went back to the Maple Leafs, and the big guns that had been kind of sleeping became the sleeping giants that were awakened.
Certainly the man who we thought might be named captain wasn't named captain. It was spearheaded by Auston Matthews. He was tremendous, especially in the latter half of this game in the second and third period. But I think you're totally right in bringing that up. I think what we witnessed, Gord, quite frankly, in the first period was a team in the Ottawa Senators not much to lose going into this season. I think many know where this team will be, probably at the bottom of the standings, but they're looking for progression during this rebuild. And I think they got the momentum and clearly the confidence from that first goal and said, we can hang with this team. And I think the Leafs played down to their opponent, and we've seen this time and time again from this team.
Well, DJ Smith, a great kind of guy to be an opposing coach, not for the Leafs, but for the Ottawa Senators, having been an assistant coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs, for 4 years. And his basic thing is kind of like a heavyweight fight, and you're outclassed, so you know you can't sit back and take it because at some point you're going to lose it. So you got to go out and try to make something happen early to throw the opponent off a bit, and that's what DJ Smith went out. They played, and probably, Nick, it was a bit too of an aggressive a game because they took three penalties, and you know they weren't great penalties, but it helped lead to the goal. They had the 1-0 lead. They had the edge in play for a bit, but also they paid the price, and ultimately, later on, they did pay the price. Leafs did score in the power play and did just get going. But early on, he wanted the Ottawa Senators, and they want to do it the other 81 games as well, but play a real in-your-face style.
Maple Leafs 5-3 here in the season opener against the Ottawa Senators. It's Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation post-game. Unsurprisingly, some of the big boys stepped up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thought for the most part, the Tavares line rather quiet in this game. But again, as mentioned, Auston Matthews, and we've seen this many times already in his young career, He has something for the dramatic, it seems, especially on opening night, Gordy. That's, nine goals in four career season openers. He loves this this spotlight.
Yeah, the NHL came out with a stat about all-time current players leading in first-game goals, first game of the season. And Zach Parise leads. He's got 10, but he'd had it in 12 games. Auston Matthews at that point had 7 in 3 games. Now he's got 9 in 4 games. So ever since it was against Ottawa, that 4-goal game, he's contributed once 1 goal and twice 2 goals. And only the fourth NHLer to do that. Fedorov was one, Dit Clapper. Anyway, whatever. So it's all Hall of Famers that he's with right now. But you look tonight, 8 shots on goal.
Yeah.
8 shots on goal Auston Matthews had as the Leafs outshot Ottawa 42-26. But he came up with the 2 goals, and he just was in that groove. And that's the one, Nick, where, as you mentioned, the unevenness of the game, kind of sloppy for the Maple Leafs, kind of slow. But then when they break out, wow. And Auston Matthews is probably the biggest guy that breaks out. We thought he was going to try that lacrosse goal from behind the net as well.
Yeah.
I've never really seen him go to do that, but he put the puck on his stick, and it looked like, but till he saw someone coming in hard, that may be something we'll see added to his repertoire this season.
And full credit as well to Eric Branstrom, the young defenseman for the Ottawa Senators there late in the game. Auston Matthews trying to tuck in the empty netter, and he actually took a Matthews skate in the face, so we hope for the very best in that situation. But he negated a goal. Matthews could have got the hat trick goal there, but by far, Toronto's best player in this game was Auston Matthews, and we'll see a lot of that coming up this season. Leafs take it 5-3 the final. Again, Chris Johnson will join us momentarily for his thoughts here on this season opener. But again, getting back to the point of this game, it was not pretty, but they get the job done. They look forward now to the Columbus Blue Jackets, but certainly early on in the season, it's going to be very, very easy, Gord, for the coaching staff to take apart some video and look at some things this team certainly needs to work on going forward.
Yeah, and the one that you want to get is some depth.
Yep.
And the GOAT, who would have picked the GOAT in the first goal of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Is Sam McKee laughing because he thinks he would have put the GOAT?
Or
is he laughing at the hilarity of my who would have picked the GOAT? But just, yeah, good on Freddie Gauthier, just when the other guy, because, for example, Rasmus Sandin, his first shift, what, was 12 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
12 minutes. He hadn't got a shift.
Plays.
And he played about 18 seconds there because all the power plays. So this kid's trying to get his NHL debut. So it's the same thing for the Freddie Gauthiers of the world. They were stuck on the bench as all those power plays happened. And then, you know, showed some good hands getting that in. And then Mikheyev later on adding a goal. And Trevor Moore giving another goal as well. So you get Mikheyev getting his first career NHL goal, but also some of the guys. Moore's a guy that can score, but just generally hadn't in the past, you know, doing that. So when the big line seemed to falter, because at one point we're saying, where's Mitch Marner, for example? It just seemed like
time too. Yeah,
I mean, he certainly wasn't getting benched, but just all of a sudden they really weren't showing a lot till later on in the game.
Yeah, and it gets into a special teams battle sometimes, especially when you're killing penalties the way the Leafs did in the second period. Some of your superstars are not going to play as often. I want to get to this question because it was something we've been wondering for, say, the last week or the last 10 years almost since Dion Phaneuf wore the C for this Maple Leafs team. The unveiling. So John Tavares named the 25th captain in franchise history. What did you make of the news and the unveiling?
I saw some shots about it being underwhelming. I wouldn't call it that. I thought it was predictable. We'd heard about it. Later on, when they released a video that showed the way they advised John Tavares as captain,
that was
pretty
cool.
Neat. That was, and again, it's something if you can check online, it's basically he's down at the Maple Leaf executive offices. They're surprising him with his wife and his infant baby. The infant baby is wearing a John Tavares jersey with a C on it, probably the smallest John Tavares jersey in captivity. And then Kyle Dubas directs him into Brendan Shanahan's office, and then Dubas, Mike Babcock's there, and Brendan Shanahan tell him about being captain. So that was really, really neat. He came out, got a great ovation. There's a lot of history to it. I'm sure he's very proud about it. The leadership group, Auston Matthews, Morgan Rielly, Mitch Marner, they all came out wearing A's. Nobody wore it in the pregame skate, a C or an A. When game happened, Auston Matthews didn't wear the A because you can only have 2 alternates, so he'll probably wear it on the road. That's what a lot of teams do, you know, split it that way. But you think about it, Nick, these 4 could be the leadership group of the Toronto Maple Leafs for at least the next 5 years.
Yeah.
They have not a single change. Like, you know, year to year, it's gone. There's been a new A, or, you know, Ron Hainsey wore the A. But John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, Mitch Marner, and Auston Matthews, could all be wearing the C's and A's for at least the next 5 years and maybe more.
And rest assured, the debate will rage on. I know they named him the captain, but certainly everything that's transpired around these parts the last couple weeks, I have no issue with John Tavares being the captain for a variety of reasons. He comes back to the team he grew up. He had the, you know, everything we saw from him signing on July 1 a couple years back. And just more so how he handles the media, I think he is very, very pro at that as well.
Well, I think the first part, Nick, is the key. What you said was... He came here. He made this legit.
A lot of pressure.
Like, wow. But, I mean, he also said, hey, I like Steven Stamkos 2 years earlier. Now, there were other factors about Tampa Bay and all that. But he looked at it and said, you know, coming back home to Toronto, Toronto's not where I wanted to be at this particular point, was a factor in him not coming. John Tavares gave the stamp of approval about, you know, I'm going to take a lot of crap with the Islanders, Islander fans, but I really believe, and that's a big part of my decision, I want to come home and, like, any Toronto area kid, or most are, the sleeping in the Maple Leaf pajamas and whatever. So I mean, the other ones were drafted. Matthews, I mean, Marner wanted to play here. I'm sure Riley and Matthews were happy to be drafted by Toronto. But John Tavares making that move was the pièce de résistance. How about that?
I like that, Gordy. Yeah. I like the little français for us. There you go,
The feather in the cap for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow. Gord Stellick bringing in here in the season opener. I'm Nick Alberga. Leafs Nation postgame roars on to the other big debate topic on opening night / opening day of the Leafs season. Jason Spezza, a former Ottawa Senator, does not play in the season premiere. Nick Shore misses all last year, plays in the KHL, comes, makes his debut. You think internally Mike Babcock was smiling or grinning, knowing that the fourth line kicked off the scoring, as we referenced, and that was Nick Shore's line, wasn't it?
Yeah, and of course, at the end of the day, it's a 5-3 win, yeah. So that's the bottom line, and that's what Mike Babcock, and Nick Shore almost scored the first goal as well.
It's crazy.
But now, you did hear that Kyle Dubas said he's totally in sync with what Mike Babcock is doing. So that's good to hear. Optically, it's important he says that, because optically people are reading, and the Leaf organization has to know that, reading things into it. Brian Burke had a good line. He just said, I really don't understand it. I think Mike Babcock has a little Mike Keenan in him, that he likes to just do some of that stuff just to rattle cages. And, you know, Keenan in his heyday would do that as well. As long as you win, you can get away with it. If you're going to have a rotation, play Jason Spezza tonight. Play him at home.
Like, why couldn't
play him
at
Toronto Maple Leaf, you know, and then put Shore in Friday. First controversy averted. Well, if it came down to winning the game, that's averted that way. But now his claim is that in defense of Mike Babcock, that Jason Spezza has to get better at the penalty killing component.
So he has 2 days to do that. Okay.
Well, two additional days. He's been doing other things, and just, yeah. So Jason Spezza, when he signed, a lot of people said, okay, you know what? He can go, well, he can fit in the second power play unit if you need him and that. And Mike Babcock's kind of saying, no. If he's going to play a certain role, and he's going to have to learn to kill penalties better, or learn to kill penalties in our system. So apparently, yeah, those two magic days. Even though days off are so prevalent nowadays, practice days off apparently are really, really vital for Jason Spezza.
I don't buy it one bit, I'll be quite honest, and you know me for a while. I'm very blunt with my opinion sometimes. I do think there could be a bit of a conflict there between the two sides, as we've seen in the past, right, with Babcock and Dubas, at least speculated. We're never going to get the official front on that, but certainly I think you make all the sense in the world to play Jason Spezza against his former team, grew up a lifelong Leafs fan, and to not make his debut, he had to swallow some pride. Probably a bit embarrassed. He'll get into the lineup, as we mentioned, against the Columbus Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Friday. But to me, it was very, very Mike Babcock. I think the players are going to have to handle those questions too. And do they really want to at this point in time?
Well, we'll see how they handle that. But it's there's two parts to it. Mike Babcock, that's what he's won with, although he's not really won recently. But he likes to keep things a little bit on edge, a little bit unpredictable, a little bit that way. So that's fine. The other part, though, if guys in the dressing room are reading it as being disrespectful to a guy I'm sure they respect in Jason Spezza, then that's one where you got to be careful. Whether it's the expression you're losing the dressing room or losing the respect of the players, whatever you do, it is a reality. And I'm not saying it would happen just based on one game. But he would go to great lengths to talk about the experience and the value of Patrick Marleau and Ron Hainsey where they were here. So that's why I've just found this thing even a little bit more curious, that he'd be saying, yeah, I got a veteran. If you didn't like the veteran, then speak up in the off season. You know, like, not like, did Kyle Dubas say, hey, Mike, sorry, you're on vacation. Couldn't get a hold of you. By the way, we signed Jason Spezza, and then the phone dropped on the other end. I don't think that's how it played out.
The best thing about the story is that apparently he was part of the process to lure Jason Spezza to sign in Toronto, because there were reports, even the Ottawa Senators, his former team, were interested. And you would think he could probably get, $300,000 more, I would say, elsewhere than he did in Toronto, taking the league minimum, no?
Yeah, I guess.
Probably get
I
a million bucks from Ottawa, no?
Well, Ottawa could well, first of all, Ottawa can be very frugal. They're not hard pressed against
I'm
the
aware,
cap.
I'm aware, Gord.
Yeah, they're not hard pressed against the cap. So, but I think at this point, like the time that ship had sailed, the chance to win a Stanley Cup, which he hasn't done, right? And then I talked to him before he was up in the press box Saturday for that preseason game, and he just, you know, four kids, and they come home to Toronto every summer, so it was kind of nice, so you can get established here. He wasn't really expecting it to come full circle, but he seemed pretty pleased. But I think he'd be more pleased if he was out there on the ice.
I would say so as well. Maple Leafs get the job done in the season opener, 5-3 the final against the Ottawa Senators. Plenty of debuts on this night, NHL debuts at that. We talked about Rasmus Sandin, clearly did not play much in this game. I think they're going to shelter him as much as they can. Ilya Mikheyev made his debut in this game, among others. Did anybody really particularly stand out outside of the Austin Matthews line, who was, you know, they were pretty damn good in this game?
Yeah, well, because there was a lot of sloppiness at times around it, we did like the Tyson Barrie we saw as far as setting up the goal and just the wizardry he could bring that way. But I liked that there was a depth component, that they threw out four lines there and they all contributed tonight, again, as a team, kind of in an uneven manner that way. And I also thought, Freddie Anderson made some big saves when you really needed him. So it was a fun night if you're down there, your fans leaving, you walk to the subway, you get in your car, you go out for a drink, and you're happy about it. But it's not like, you know, last year, the opener, they got outplayed badly by the Montreal Canadiens, but they won in overtime. So people left really happy, even though they played extremely poorly. And last year, Ottawa won the second home game on a Saturday, killed them. Ottawa beat them two more times in March. So, you know, the Sens had played the Toronto Maple Leafs pretty well in a year that wasn't very good for the Ottawa Senators. So this is a nice, you know, 2 points. Like, start banking these 2 points for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and at the end of the day, that's what they put in the bank today.
And I think I was reading as well that going into this one, the Ottawa Senators were, what, 5-0-0-0 in season openers in Toronto, something like that. So finally, the Leafs rid that curse, if you will, and get the job done here in the season opener. But I'm happy you brought up the name. You know, we talk about debuts. The big-time trade back on July 1, Nazem Kadri now with the Colorado Avalanche. I thought Tyson Barrie is exceptional in this game. For people in this market who haven't seen enough Tyson Barrie, he's a wonderful piece to bring to this roster. He's another power play quarterback, and right now on PP2, but we saw his savvy and his puck movement in full display, not to mention he's in a contract year.
Yeah, speaking of savvy, so he's with the St. Louis Blues tonight, the guy that sat in the other chair last year, so good on him. His first game, his power play unit scored, so good on Mark Savard that way. But yeah, Tyson Barrie, I still have talked about it, and I was viewed as being Jake Gardner. Sir Sam, I was banging to reinforce that. Am I Jake Gardner's older brother? Am I his uncle? I was very protective of Jake Gardner. I never thought he was properly valued here. I understand the big, you know, when he made a mistake, he went big. I understand that. And when he made a gaffe
in the playoffs in game 7, yes.
But Tyson Barrie is a higher end Jake Gardner.
Agreed.
He really is. And so a sense of that tonight is nice to see. It's kind of getting used to those numbers now.
I know.
Like you see the new guy, basically Kerfoot's number 15. He's the second lowest number. Yeah, Jake Muzzin at 8 is the lowest number. Kerfoot at 15. The goaltenders are like the fourth and fifth guys in the mix now. And again, with William Nylander switching to 88 and Tyson Barrie up there in the 90s, it's a very different world, whether it's that or kids hockey about numbers nowadays.
Well, I always wondered if I were a player and I got traded or signed with the Montreal Canadiens, the high numbers are the only numbers you can essentially wear right now, right?
Well, not that high, but yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're the high numbers, but then going the real high numbers is just you come in vogue for the last number of years, whatever it may be, but it used to be just a couple of guys would be, you know, over 40 as far as numbers went. But now it seems a couple of guys are under 40 as far as numbers go.
Even looking at Tyson Berry wearing the number 94, I can't help but think of Sergei Bereson
back
in the day.
Sergei.
Right? Just flying down the
hat. Yeah. A tip of the hat to Sergei Bereson.
Former Arizona Coyote, Phoenix Coyote, Sergei Bereson, among other squads. So sort of the Maple Leafs successful here on opening night of the NHL season, a 5-3 win over the Ottawa Senators. Your thoughts looking forward, Gordo, to the weekend, the first set of back-to-backs. A Nationwide Arena on Friday night in Columbus, and then they're back home to face the rival Montreal Canadiens on Saturday night.
Yeah, and of course, we'll have both those games on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, the game coverage, so looking forward to that. It's nice to get these 2 points. Nice to get that first win.
Bank them.
Columbus will be interesting. They go to the playoffs. They have some success. They lose a lot of guys, and of course, you're talking about a Corposalo now that they're going.
The Corpedo, I like to call him.
Yeah, and they got and Elvis, the backup goaltender.
Merzlikins.
They decided, you know, losing Bobrovsky, they didn't go out and get someone, say, you know, whatever it may be, say Robin Lehner or whoever else might be out there. So that's going to be an interesting challenge. And hey, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada against the Montreal Canadiens, like, it doesn't matter where these teams are. If they're both really good, if they're both not very good, if there's a big disparity, it still can't beat it. Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, Montreal and Toronto. So we will like that game as far as we'll like being down at Scotiabank Arena, and we'll enjoy that coverage. So back-to-back games on a Friday and Saturday. And then we get in the groove. Then they just keep coming at you. But right now, you treasure a 5-3 win in the season opener.
Very well put. I'm Nick Alberga, joined alongside Gord Stellick. The Maple Leafs take it 5-3, the final here in the season opener at home against the Ottawa Senators. We're going to hit the break. Much more to come. Post-game reaction. Mike Babcock, also the 25th captain in Toronto Maple Leafs history. John Tavares still ahead, as well as Sportsnet's Chris Johnson. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Death, taxes, and Austin Matthews domination in season openers. Leafs top the Sens 5-3 in the season opener. Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. 2 goals and 8 shots on goal for Toronto's newest alternate captain, Austin Matthews. Ho-hum on that front. Chris Johnson is coming up, but just your general assessment on this one tonight, Gord.
Yeah, and looking forward to hear what Mike Babcock will hear from him in a little while, but just we've talked about it, that it's 2 points. Good start for the Maple Leafs, a very uneven game that they let the Ottawa Senators earn the first goal rather quickly. Then the Ottawa Senators had the edge on play for a while, and Freddie Anderson made some saves. 3 back-to-back-to-back power play opportunities, so we got to see the exciting Leaf power play, but they didn't click. And a little bit later on, after the foot soldiers for the Leafs got on the scoring sheet first, it's the big guns that did it, and that ended up being enough for the Toronto Maple Leafs to come up with that 5-3 win in their season opener.
That is also one of the unheralded keys, I would say, in this one for the Maple Leafs, is Frederik Andersen. It totally could have gotten a hand in the first period. A couple of really, really good stops, I would say, following the 1-0 goal from Brady Tkachuk. And certainly, we talk a lot about the big boys for this team, especially offensively, and if they're not scoring, it's going to be tough to win. But without your number one netminder, without Frederik Andersen playing the way he can play, this team's going to do nothing significant this season, Gord.
Yeah, shots on goal. Maple Leafs 42-26, so a sizable difference. But in the first period, it was 14-12. The Leafs outshot Ottawa, but I would say the Ottawa Senators outchanced the Maple Leafs. So the biggest stat is the stat they don't follow, is the timing of big or substantive saves. And that's what Freddie Andersen did tonight. And that's what Bruce Boudreau said about him back in Anaheim when he came over. You know, they kept John Gibson. Gabby was gone by then, but just said, this is a guy that'll win games for you. And Freddie Andersen has been winning games for you.
Andersen versus Andersen. It's time to bring in Sportsnet senior hockey writer Chris Johnson, who took in this 5-3 win for the Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena in the season opener. CJ, great to be with you as always. Just your thoughts on this opening win for the Maple Leafs.
Well, it was a pretty entertaining game. I mean, a little bit sloppy, I think, which is to be expected, whether it's jitters or just the fact that, you know, these teams haven't played together as teams too often to this point in time. And you know, the Leafs expect to be at the top of the standings. And I think Ottawa's, you know, going to probably have a tough year. And you saw that with the way Toronto really controlled the play in the offensive zone and, you know, overcame a bit of a sloppy start and the failed power plays. And you know, their skill won out.
You know, Chris, it's when you're a good team, because we've seen really good teams when the Leafs weren't, and quite often you play well against them, but you fall short. And good teams or great teams win ugly. They didn't win ugly tonight, but it just an uneven game. But even though it's uneven, at the end of the day, they did enough even stuff to win. That's what I like, that the big guns couldn't get it going early on. The foot soldiers did it. Then the big guns got going. Then things kind of slowed down in the third. But at the end of the day, you get the 2 points.
Yeah, and I think pretty encouraging to see what the Leafs third line did tonight. I mean, you know, with Kerfoot and Mikheyev, it's two-thirds of the new guys. And you know, Trevor Moore on their wing right now is, you know, still getting used to a spot a little higher in the lineup. You know, he's still getting established as an NHL player, despite, you know, finishing the year last year with the Leafs. And you know, I think that those guys kind of shone through in the game. I mean, obviously, Matthews was dominant. You know, if you watch the Leafs enough, that's not an unusual occurrence. But, you know, it was not just the stars that carried the way. That you know, it was some of those third-line guys, you know, grinding out and contributing some offense. Obviously, Gauthier got a goal as well from the fourth line. So, you know, I think that the strength the Leafs have clearly is the high-end skill. But, you know, I think that they have so much throughout their roster that they're just going to be a handful when things are clicking. And, you know, I think that they did, especially in the second and third period, get a lot more happening in the positive direction.
You know what, CJ, as someone who appreciated Ron Hainsey's time with the Maple Leafs, I felt bad for him in the second period. What a shot, but the goal gets called back. Fair to say that was a turning point in this game?
It was, you know, and you know, it's an interesting play because they've changed the rules on the challenges this year. And you know, as Mike Babcock just finished telling us in the interview room, you can't guess anymore. And you know, Jordan Bean and caught that, the Leafs video coach was back in the room and flagged that as a potential offside. And you know, there's a lot riding on those challenges now, and it was a big play for the Leafs then. It, you know, it made it back to 2-2, and then Austin Matthews connected William Nylander on that goal to go 3-2, and you know, the game really wasn't in much doubt from that point on. I mean, Toronto totally dominated the second period of tonight's game. I mean, Matthews outshot the Senators on his own 5-3 in that period, outscored them 2-1. You know, it was definitely a swing moment in the game. You know, I'm not sure if Ottawa would have hung in, you know, even had that not happened. You know, I think the Leafs really enjoyed a territorial advantage, and you know, outside of that ugly first shift where they went behind 1-0, you know, I didn't think they gave the Sens a ton. I mean, there's a couple lone breaks and things, but you know, that was a swing moment, and tough for Ron Hainsey, who was you know, pretty good Leaf for 2 years. I know he was much maligned, but spent a lot of time in the organization to have one taken off the board in that manner.
Chris Johnson joining us. And Chris, last night, yourself, Steve Dangle, and myself, we were at the Sportsnet Grill. There was kind of a fun event. They were diehard hockey fans, and you were kind of kidding about the crisis that can go on in fans' minds day by day. We talked a lot about Austin Matthews and that. So today, the Jason Spezza not playing, where are you on, like, oof, really, that was, Brian Burke said, kind of unnecessary to do, versus others that say, no, Kyle Dubas is in on it, it's all good, we are family?
Yeah, I would have played him. I mean, maybe I'm a bleeding heart, but you know, to me, the way, it's not just that he came to play in Toronto, it's that, you know, this organization has talked openly. In fact, there's been numerous comments over time about the fact they feel they'll be able to get some local guys towards the end of their career to come back and play in Toronto and do it maybe for a little bit less to help them balance things with the salary cap, and that could be, you know, competitive advantage, if you want to call it that, that the Leafs enjoy. And clearly that's what Jason Spezza did here. I mean, he had a lot of interest back on July 1st. You know, I think we all recognize, and I think he recognizes, honestly, I've had a few discussions with him in the last couple of weeks. And then, you know, I think he knows where he's at. He's the fourth oldest forward in the NHL right now. You know, he finished last season in Dallas, being scratched a couple times in the playoffs. Even when he played game 7 in the second round, I think he played 8 minutes, and that game went to double overtime against St. Louis. So, I mean, he is it at a status or a point where he's not playing a lot of minutes. But I just think that the fact he chose to come back here and you know, not push for money, just do it in a way that could help the Leafs cap situation, that, you know, you're probably better to play him on opening night, and even if you scratch him for a few games after that, you at least give him the moment, the introduction. You know, I thought it was unfortunate. I'm not sure why they did it, but that he, you know, usually the the scratch players are introduced with their teammates before the first game of the season, kind of a tradition for a home opener. And you know, he was up in the press box instead and didn't get a moment to be acknowledged. And you're right, in the big picture, I'm not sure how much it matters. If he ends up playing a bunch of games this year, if he ends up being part of a successful team, I think it'll largely be forgotten. But, you know, just for me, I don't know that you can make a case that say Nick Shore was so much better than him that the Leafs were harmed. And, you know, in fact, maybe you can make a case, you know, Trevor Moore was thrown onto that second power play unit without getting a lot of reps throughout training camp and practice time. And, you know, lo and behold, they get three chances in the first 10 minutes. And, you know, it did look like Moore was maybe looking out there a little bit. So, you know, it doesn't affect anything in the big picture. I just think, you know, probably needless little firestorm, but, you know, those things happen around here and I'm part of causing them with my own reporting. So I don't want to be too hard on anyone about it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I probably never will. Lastly, I want to ask you, John Tavares, the 25th captain in franchise history. What'd you make of that decision?
It makes a lot of sense. You know, I think when you see it and you think about it and you see where everything is at, you know, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to, you know, delay one of the younger guys getting it. Even if Morgan Riley, who's not, you know, so young anymore, has been in the league a number of years now, but, you know, making Matthews, Marner and Riley, the alternate captains and sort of the secondary leadership group, they represent the younger core of the team, but, you know, leave some of the media, responsibilities, some of the things that maybe those guys don't need added on to Tavares makes sense just because he's done it before. He's never seemed bothered by it. And, you know, let those guys go out and do what they do. I mean, it was pretty evident tonight's game, what they're capable of. You know, anyone's been watching the Leafs knows that. And you know, I don't think now that it's all passed and despite all the discussion and debate, you know, I don't know that it changes that much. I didn't get the sense that anyone's disappointed you know, this is the right guy at the right time. He came back to play in Toronto. He took less money to play in Toronto. He grew up, obviously nearby and, you know, he's an adult in a sport that's growing increasingly younger and on a team that's young. The Leafs are still the fourth youngest roster in the league right now, despite, the fact that these guys do all feel like they're getting older and more mature. And so, you know, I think he's the right man at the right time. And, you know, it's a big step, I think, you know, naming the leadership team, putting that C on someone's jersey. I mean, it's a statement of intent. And, you know, John Tavares now gets the right to fight to try to be the first Maple Leaf to lift the Stanley Cup since 1967. I mean, it's a pretty cool honor on a team that has big aspirations. And, you know, I don't think it'll change too much for him just because he's such a level-headed, grounded guy.
Yeah, not too shabby if you ask me. Chris, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
All right, boys. We'll talk soon.
Take care. That's Chris Johnson, Sportsnet hockey writer, of course, covering this one. A 5-3 win for the Maple Leafs here in the season opener against the Ottawa Senators. You can't go wrong, can you, with the John Tavares decision?
No. It was the right decision, no question. But I thought Morgan Riley, because he's a little bit older, would have been the other choice. But I know it's the sexy thing about the young players. I think Connor McDavid, you know, being captain, like, I think he goes out and kicks ass, and then he's got to face an answer for the team. So, anyway, enough that way, and I guess we got the head coach coming up.
We do. Let's hear now from the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock.
But he's the kind of man, and he's the kind of leader, and he's the kind of person that our guys look up to, and he does everything right every day. He's all about winning. He's not about John. He's about winning. He's a great example to all of us. You know, when I ask him a question, he doesn't think, is this good for John? He thinks, is this good for the team? He's a man. So I think it's great. I think it's great for Mitch and Matty, too, as they grow in their leadership roles. Obviously, Morgan Riley's a huge leader here and sets the tone with enthusiasm and work ethic as well. And so we're lucky. You know, Hyman and Muzzin are big-time leaders on this team, too, and they're in our leadership group. And we ideally will add more and more to that because it's important to have lots of guys all in. If you're going to have success, it's not the manager or the coach or the president's not the leader. The players take control of the team and they set the accountability, and that's how you win in the end. So it took us a while to get to this point, but we're excited we're at this point.
Is this an important point?
Well, there's no question about it. Is I know we're in a hurry. You know, everybody, instant gratification, that's society today, and it's obviously Toronto and hockey, but the reality is you just keep plugging away and doing good things, and good things happen. And we're still going to have lots of moments this year you wonder what the heck's going on, but just keep grinding, doing good things, and that makes you better.
What did you like in the win tonight?
Well, I thought it was a perfect start for them. You know, you come out, we're nervous, you're banging in our net, and then we get three power plays in a row, and we're borderline dysfunctional, just tense. Couldn't move. We didn't skate good. But I thought once we got through that, down 1-0, we came out, and then I thought we played. And I thought we played pretty good in exhibition at the end. Not at the start, but at the end. And I like the fact that we have the puck a lot, and we're spending a lot of time in the offensive zone. We shoot it and get it back. We seem to be working pretty hard. I was real impressed with the Kerfoot line tonight, Mikheyev and Morin. Those guys were good. So the more depth you can, everyone knows Matthews was good. Well, I know that too. So, but it's those other guys that create depth that allow you to be better, I think, are important for us.
When you said this morning you'd like to see Matthews play hard for his teammates just as he's getting on here, is that the kind of game you're thinking?
Well, you know, he's that kind of player, right? He has a chance to be a generational player. And so now, you know, what can you learn from John? You can learn from John just working every day, working hard, winning every puck, working hard in practice. So that's the challenge for our group is we have to get better. We all understand. We've laid it out very clearly where we got to get better. You know, we evaluated ourselves after exhibition, and we'll continue to do that and where we're going. Everybody knows what we got to do to have success, and so we talk about it on a daily basis, and we're trying to work towards it. That doesn't mean it's always going to go good, but at least we've got a plan.
What does it say about Mikheyev that he's able to come over and make an impact in his first NHL game?
Yeah. Well, he's good. That's what it says. But he's way better than you've seen. He's got to get comfortable and, you know, got to know what direction he's going and all that stuff. And when he understands the language better, and he's, don't get me wrong, he's smart and he understands good, but it's going so fast on the ice and you're talking to guys and it's hard for him. But I thought, I mean, he's an unbelievable penalty killer. Holy mackerel. Can he fly, that guy?
We're talking about as players. Is there some Nick Lidstrom in John Tavares?
Well, you know, I always hate comparing anyone to Nick Lidstrom, like a 7-time Norris Trophy winner and one of the finest human beings you ever meet. But John Tavares is his own person and does things his own way. And, I mean, he's incredible to be around because he makes you a better coach, not scared to tell you things, not shy, not scared to tell the guys things. I don't know if he ever suffered from peer pressure in his life, but sure doesn't now. Does the right thing on a daily basis, wants to be great, wants to get better, good man, good family man. You know, pretty impressive for us to have a guy like that. And, you know, I think it helps the other guys become what they want to be too. We're all trying to get better each and every day, and we're trying to become the people we want to be, and it's a good example.
What's the sequence with Brew and Beanbag after Ron Hainsey's goal?
Beanbag was on that. He just right away... It was talking. It was one of those ones where the linesman wasn't in the way. Was lots of times that play, the linesman's in the way, and you can't tell. So obviously that's a big play in the game right there, and an important play for us. And those guys were on top of it, and Brew and Beanbag got it right, which is important. We talked before they went through it. Obviously they don't want to be under the gun, so we went through. And the challenges this year, you got to know. You flat out got to know. There's no pretending, you know, you better know. So we talked about that, and they were right.
All right, shout out to Beanbag right there. That was Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. From there, we get to the highlights of this 5-3 win for the Maple Leafs against the Ottawa Senators in the season opener. Did not start too well for the Buds. Just 25 seconds in, Brady Tkachuk on the doorstep, and after one, Gordo, 1-0 for the Senators in this one.
Yeah, the physicality of Brady Tkachuk going out and took the crowd out of the game very quickly. And Connor Brown, sentimental favorite, got an assist on that one. So it was up to the Leafs to quickly come back.
sort of amazing when you look at the second period as well, Gord, the fact that we talked a lot about the fourth line going into this game, and then the fourth line scores the first goal of the season.
Right wing side brought on over the line now. Here's a wrist shot in front of the goal as it was taken by Berry and was just knocked wide. Back to the point. Timoshov to Berry. Shot deflects off the backhand. A rolling puck scores! Freddie the Goat in front of the net slashes it home, and it is tied at ones. And the fourth line scores the opening goal of the season for Toronto.
You can't help but smile right there. That's Joe Bone on the Leafs Radio Network. Freddie Gauthier from Tyson Berry and Dmytro Timoshov. 2:20 into this one, a 1-1 game here in the second period. The rebound goal was the name of the game early in the second frame, and shortly after that, just like this, 2-1 Maple Leafs.
Leafs have had five shots in the period, and the Senators won. Marinson shot. That was blockered away by Anderson. Shot from the point by Sandin was blocked. It rolls in front. They score! I believe it is Mikheyev who has tipped this in front. And Moore's going to get the goal as the Leafs have grabbed a 2-1 lead.
How about that? 4:42 into the second period. Gord, Trevor Moore, first of the season for Mikheyev, and Rasmus Sandin, his first NHL point.
Yeah, two similar goals, just about 2 minutes apart. So the Leafs get the lead. It's not the big line that did it. It's guys not being afraid to be physical, crowding, and a lot of guys getting first, as you mentioned. Gauthier doesn't score much. He got that one. Moore is going to score more, but Mikheyev and Sandin, their first career NHL points on that goal to give them a 2-1 lead.
Very short-lived, however. 12 seconds later, you're going to know the name now, Scott Sabourin taps backdoor pass from Philip Schlappick, a 2-2 hockey game. Then shortly after that, it looked like Ron Hainsey, former Maple Leaf, would score, but this was the turning point in this game. Offside challenge, no goal. Deemed Bobby Ryan's skate off the ice, so no goal there. And then after that, I would say Austin Matthews took over this hockey game.
And racing back with it is Brady Tkachuk. Tkachuk overskates the puck and then falls. And the Leafs have an odd man rush going the other way with Nylander. They score! Matthews! Holy mackerel! What a turn of events! Faceoff to the left of Anderson.
You know what? Craig Anderson makes a great stop here. He doesn't butterfly, stays on his feet, takes away the top part of the net.
Nylander in front, the shot scores! Matthews! Marner makes a brilliant no-look pass, and Austin Matthews delivers the payload. It is 4-2.
And the Maple Leafs would cruise from there on way to a 5-3 win behind two more goals and a season opener for Austin Matthews. Now 9 in his first four, a 5-3 final here, Gord.
Yeah, and Mikheyev got his first as well, the next Leaf goal. I like you hear Jim Ralph talking about a big save and how Matthews had almost scored and then doesn't get it out of his mouth, and Matthews does it again. 8 shots on net and just a dominant performance by him. And a nice performance, a nice assimilation for a lot of the Toronto Maple Leafs, a lot of the new Leafs in game number one. Like you said, an uneven game, but the Toronto Maple Leafs are the victors in the end.
All in all, I would concur, the Leafs taking care of business. 5-3 the final here in the season opener against the Ottawa Senators. We're off to the races for the 19-20 season. They're in Columbus Friday night, home to the rival Montreal Canadiens on Saturday night. Both games can be heard right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Pretty decent job, Gord, to kick off this season, you and I would say.
Yes, I would say it was. It was kind of a nice game to do, and it was our first, well, we've done a few already, but just regular season. It's something different about regular season, way different than the preseason. So the Leafs showed up for the real thing, and Nick, you and I showed up for the real deal, along with our buddy Sam McKee.
Indeed we did. It's always fun to work with the real GOAT, Gord Stellick. For Gord Stellick, I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks so much as well to Sam McKee. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.